Welcome back to West Bev. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Ariel.
And this is your Beverly Hills 90210 podcast, where we break down every episode of the 10-season show. Today we're talking about Season 9, Episode 11, How to Be the Jerk Women Love.
Mary, what happened this week?
Gina apologizes to Donna for what she said at her birthday party. She wants to make sure everything is all good between them before she continues to poison her personal relationships. Since it clearly didn't work with Noah, Gina's new target is Felice. Dylan's drug use pushes Gina away as life continues to throw him reminders that Tony with a Y Marchette is still around. And hey, by the way, he moved Tony with an I's grave without permission, and there's no record of where she went. Sorry. Dylan pays a man to buy him an illegal gun about it. Matt cooks a nice dinner for Kelly, but she can't follow him upstairs to bang in either Brandon's or Brenda's or Steve's or Val's or Jim and Cindy, but probably not Jim and Cindy's old room because it's just too weird. But then she sees a video at a boys-only seduction seminar Steve's hosting, because of course he is, in which Matt explains his understated cook-a-girl-dinner to make her feel special approach. Insert she gets over it and under him joke here. Because David isn't qualified, he asks Kelly to give relationship advice on his radio show, and by extension, everyone in the P-pad, which can we say for the 53rd time is really weird. Steve blames her advice on his students being so bad at picking up women because it can't be his. None of us can be sure why Janet went along with his scheme, but I guess we can thank her for the title of this episode.
I have a theory about why Janet went along with this, but we'll get there. Maybe. I might not say it.
This episode was just wild for so many reasons that one of them does include Janet actually going along with this plan and being involved in the video. So,
yeah, so I really think that this episode could have easily been slotted into, like, season 5 and we wouldn't have batted an eyelash. Like, yeah. There are some updates that wouldn't have made sense. Like, I don't think Tony happened until season 6 and Gina would have to be Val and Kelly would be dating some random guy in college. But, like, this could all work for season 5. They might have just found an old script and been like, control F this guy, put in Matt.
Well, yeah, like, because I literally had a thought, like, Matt and Brandon seem similar enough to where the only thing that's different is how flustered Kelly is around Matt. Like, Kelly was never this flustered around Brandon. Like, she was always attracted to him, but they had this kind of easy banter between them. Whereas with mm-hmm. Matt, she's just all insecure and unsure and doesn't know what to do with herself.
Oh my gosh, yes. We just have to get into this because I have to talk about the Matt and Kelly stuff.
Yeah.
Like, also, this episode proves us right in so many different ways because, like Mary mentioned in the synopsis, in this first scene in the P-pad, we see David start talking to his radio show and the entire club goes silent and they all turn and look at him.
Yes. So it finally confirms what we've always questioned. Literally, that yes, as the P-Pad club music atmosphere vibe is happening, there is just David saying all of his words broadcasted to the I would not go to this club.
I'm obsessed with the little frame they put around his window. He looks like an art exhibition.
Oh my God, yes. You know Oren from Parks and Recreation? This is something Oren would do as like when he did the human petting zoo. This is the vibe.
This is performance art. This is him going to a club where 20-somethings pick each other up and he's like, I really need help. Can someone please give me some relationship advice?
Right? Oh my God.
It's so crazy. Perfect. And that's just like a side thing because mm-hmm. basically, everybody is at the P-pad tonight. Gina and Dylan are just being messy all over each other. And Gina finds a bunch of drugs in Dylan's coat pocket because he literally can't leave the house without it. He's always got his heroin on him, and she storms off pissed. Mm-hmm. He's running past her, audibly yelling for her. And we see Janet, Steve, Donna, and Noah having, like, a double date. which are Janet and Steve together? I know they've slept together, but there's no like official Janet Steve, right?
No, I don't think so, because like, you know, the last couple of episodes have been Steve like talking about dating other women and like getting with people. It's like I think they established whatever they have doesn't really have rules, but it's definitely not a relationship. Like it's definitely not okay. That. Because I think Janet does not want it to be a relationship until she knows that Steve is like more mature, which I'm like, girl, you're gonna be waiting a long time.
I was gonna say, this episode we're having this conversation.
I know. Well, and it's funny too though, because like this episode happened 30 years ago nearly. And The lines that like, or at least some of the things that they say in this episode, even in this first scene, are still things that people say today. I don't know if they legit say it, because I haven't been like hit on by a guy in God count the number of years I've been married and dating. But like, it's just so funny that later on in the scene when the guys are trying pickup lines, I'm like, are you from Tennessee? Because you're the only 10 I see. Are you serious?
Is that a mirror in your pocket? I died.
Yeah, right? I was like, are we in Anchorman where Brick's like, do you want to go to a party in my pants?
The pants party?
Yeah. Brick, are you telling me that there's a party in your pants and that I'm invited? Yes.
It's just, it's so bad. And for some reason, Steve has his weird confidence about him where he's like, yes, I can absolutely teach other men how to pick up women, let alone that I'm not in a relationship right now.
Exactly. Like, Janet's the only one that's like, you are insane. Well, actually, no, Donna is like this too. Janet is like, no, you're wrong. And Donna's like, you're cute, but you're also hella delusional. And I'm like, and Donna, honestly, outside of the Felice stuff, Donna was perfection this episode. Like, I think this was one of Donna's best episodes, honestly.
And honestly, even with the Felice stuff, like, that's not her fault. She was 100% being manipulated.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, I don't know how this conversation turns into Janet saying, oh, yes, the seminar, how to be the jerk women love, and Steve just having a light bulb.
It's like literally nobody can say, don't do this, or it's not like you're going to do this, or you can't possibly think you're going to do this around Steve, because he'll just be like, opposite day. Whatever you tell me I can't, shouldn't, wouldn't, couldn't do, I will do.
And so meanwhile, we have to set up the other part of this episode where Kelly and Matt are having a date at Casa Walsh, which as soon as I wrote Casa Walsh in my notes, I was like, is it weird for her that she's dating a different guy that's lived in this house?
Yep.
And then immediately.
Yeah.
I spent the entire episode trying to figure out which bedroom he could possibly be in.
Well, because remember when Steve brought that other girl home? I forget who it was. He still wasn't in the master.
But when Brandon left, I think they made a comment about how Steve moved so fast into the master bedroom.
Oh, okay.
But then that room would have been the open one when no one needed somewhere to live. And then Val left. Mm-hmm. So I think Matt is in Val's old room, which is Brenda's old room, which is between Brandon's old room and Brandon's other old room.
Oh, my God. So weird.
But, like, yeah, she can't go upstairs because of this. She's like, mm-hmm. Well, I could sleep in my ex-fiance's room. I could sleep in my ex-fiance's room when he was my ex-boyfriend's room. Or I could sleep in my ex-best friend's room. Like, it's weird.
It is.
And she can't go up. And I bet Matt is just like, why do I live here?
I know. Well, and like, good on him for being – well, first of all, good on her for being honest.
Yes.
But also good on him for not immediately like – getting mad or upset or offended by it. He's just like, all right, let's just get some coffee. You know, like, clearly this is a thing. We don't have to do this right now. But Kelly's like just too insecure. She's like, you know what? I should just leave. You know, she's very like conflict avoidant right now, which is very not Kelly, but you can tell she's just super flustered around him.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause she also makes a comment where she's like, oh, you hate me, don't you? Because she turned him down for sex. And, like, I don't think she's ever been like that. We've seen her not sleep with boyfriends before. What's his face with the house in the hills that became David's house that
Mark?
Yeah, Mark, who I always want to give Matt his name.
But yeah, she didn't sleep with him either, although he did hate her for it.
Right, so
maybe
that's
true. It. And then we cut to credits. We have very long establishing shots. I skipped through so much of this, I got to be honest.
Me too. I did too.
And we have to go back to Gina and Dylan. And apparently Gina spent the night with him. Whatever fight they were having when they left the pee pad did not continue past falling asleep. But she says she tries to leave twice and just can't do it. Because every time Dylan gets into a relationship, it ends up incredibly toxic.
Oh, and just immediately filled with, like, conflict. You know, and it's not even necessarily conflict between them two. It's, like, conflict with the woman in question, like, internally. You know, like, Val had this same conflict within herself of, like, ooh, should I do this? Ah, but he's so cute. You know, it's, like, this constant struggle. Mm-hmm. And we know Kelly's had that, too, because she knows Dylan. She's known him forever. And now Gina's having the same thing. And she finally admits, like, hey, man, like, I'm not going to date a guy who does drugs. And to Dylan's credit, which I never believed him for a second, but to Dylan's credit, he did what he did with David that time when David almost got arrested.
Mm-hmm.
He goes and flushes all of his drugs down the toilet. And they hug. She's thrilled. He seems, to her, genuine. But I'm like, that's too quick of a storyline to just be done. Like, that was, like, two episodes. Like, we're not done with Dylan and drugs.
Yeah, we can let Noah get over alcohol in two episodes. We're not letting Dylan get away from heroin that easily.
Yep.
I loved every moment of that scene. I just love it when Dylan is on my screen. I don't give a fuck what he's doing.
Well, he's just so electric. Like, he's so – the camera loves him. The people love him, and he's just so good at Dylan. Like, I don't know what it was about Luke Perry to make him so invested in characters, but we have not seen him in several seasons, and he still embodies Dylan just as much as he did, with the exception of his weird retcon of no Brenda, you know, in his time away. But that's not his fault. He went all in on this. I'm still torn up over Tony. Like, he's just so good.
He's so good. So we cut over to the beach apartment where Donna and Kelly are catching up. Kelly tells Donna about how she couldn't sleep with Brandon. And Donna's like, yeah, it is kind of weird. Mm-hmm. And Kelly's
like, did you just call Matt Brandon?
Oh, my God. I didn't even notice it. I did, but didn't. That's so funny.
I wrote Brandon so many times in my notes. It didn't even hit me.
Oh, man. It finally happened to us.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I will find a way that Brandon would have fixed this whole thing. Right? Actually, Brandon would have fixed it right here because he would have been living in Casa Walsh and Matt would not be.
True. True, true, true.
So there you go. But yeah, they're having this whole conversation because Kelly feels bad that first Dylan got in the way of her and Matt dating and now Brandon's getting in the way of her and Matt sleeping together. And I'm just like, yeah, girl, you got a lot of baggage. Like,
Mm-hmm.
We're just waiting for the rest of your boyfriends to show up.
I know, seriously. Or even both of them at the same time. Like, God.
Oh, my God. Yeah, an I choose me moment, a three-way I choose me.
Exactly that. Yeah. No, she's just going to be like, instead of I choose me, I choose my baggage.
I'm not ready to be in a relationship yet. I hope you all understand.
Mm-hmm.
But we get, like, really fast movements here, honestly. Like, Gina rushes in. She spent the night with Dylan, and Kelly's pissed about it, even though Kelly's done with Dylan, quote-unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And Donna's like, okay, Kelly, you need to get out of the house before we start a fight because I have to start a fight.
Right. I know.
Gina tries to rush out again, and Donna's like, hold up a minute. We haven't talked since my birthday. We need to have a chat. Are we okay?
Mm-hmm.
Do you hate me? Is there something that we need to talk about? Like, she won't let it go, and that's what she should do. Like, if Gina's living in her house, she should be having this conversation.
Totally. And I, like, really applauded Donna in this scene, too. That's why, like, part of the reason why she was so great this episode is because she's, like, addressing the problem, addressing, hey, you blew up, and that there was a lot there, and it caught me off guard. I just want to check in. And Gina is just, like, so preoccupied, but still has a moment to be able to work in, by the way, I got a job as a personal trainer with Aunt Felice.
No, you didn't get a job. Felice is doing you a favor and paying you to stretch her out.
For like 3 days.
Yeah, she needs to fit into something by Thursday. Like, this is not a full-time job. You're not a personal trainer. You're not certified, ma'am.
Yeah, and like, we could go on to that next scene because there's only one scene in between, but they're like working out, stretching, whatever. They kind of start talking about the fact that, you know, as everybody recalls, Gina was on her way to the Olympics, like all this kind of stuff as a skater. And Felice starts talking about Donna and how she really like wishes Donna would take more risks and go for it. But I'm like, when Gina says, well, she has a store, and Felice is like, well, yeah, today. And I'm like, but isn't that literally what you want her to do, is take a risk and go for it? Like,
and you, she was talking about like, oh, I need Donna to commit to one thing. But Donna's been doing fashion since she graduated and was like, that was her major. So it's like she's been doing this for years. It's just not what you want her to commit to.
Right. Exactly. Similar to all of her boyfriends, which Gina, or I guess Felice, kind of brings that up too. Like, Felice says that she thinks that Donna just picks the kind of guys that would just annoy Felice as opposed to ones that she actually goes for. And I'm like, you literally loved Joe, but you would have hated it if she moved away from here to go be with Joe. So it's like, this scene proves that Felice will never be happy with whatever Donna does. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, and she gets so easily tricked into inviting Gina to this luncheon that she's going to. Like, it's not hard at all. I don't think that Gina's not good at what she's doing, but she doesn't have to try very hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think this takes like 5 seconds. She's like, oh yeah, Donna laughed at the luncheon. And Felice is like, well, fine. She would have hated it anyway. Do you want to go with me?
Like, so ridiculous. It's like Gina doesn't even have to try. She can just, like, Felice is the easiest person to manipulate because she doesn't actually have to be manipulated.
It's so true. Felice just let it happen. There's only one thing I have to say about Steve and this seminar, because, like, of course he's charging $250 for it. Of course he lies and says that he has a PhD, which I have to say, I really hope that Standards and Practices had to cut out a line where he says, when it comes to women, I've got a PhD, a pretty huge dick.
Oh my God.
Like, with all of the pickup lines later, you tell me that was not going to come out of Steve's mouth.
And also, like, I would have loved there have been a deleted scene where Matt, as the lawyer on retainer, would have been like, Steve, you can't say this. You have to, you can't say something like that. And that's what sparked Steve to think of it. You know what I mean? Oh, that would be perfect.
That would be so good. But, and then other than that, it's just that Steve manages to rope everybody into this. Yeah. He gets David to film it. He's got a bunch of people that are going to record videos for it. He's going to try and sell the tapes for $29.95 each. Like, it's basically just setting up what's happening later. And then Janet saying, yeah, you've got nothing to lose except your dignity, because she's brilliant. And then over at Casa Walsh, we find out Kelly left the beach apartment to go to Casa Walsh, and she tries to talk to Matt, but some woman comes out of the kitchen and basically shushes her. It's like, there's a souffle baking.
Which, you have to be quiet, otherwise it won't rise. Like, what?
And Kelly is just enamored with this woman. She's like, oh, she's really cute. And Matt's like, yeah, we went on a blind date. We realized we had nothing in common, but she can cook, so she's teaching me how to cook. And Kelly is so uncomfortable with the idea that a woman Matt dated once is in his house when two of her ex-boyfriends have been in their lives very recently.
I'm telling you, she doesn't know what to do around him. She is so – I don't know if it's intimidated. I don't know if it's – I don't know what the word is. But some, there's something about Matt that just sets her off kilter. You know, she just doesn't know how to act. And it's, I don't, like, which is so weird to me because Matt seems so chill. Like, he seems like a pretty even-keeled guy, like, so not Brandon in that way. Like, he's a lot like Brandon, but he doesn't go full Brandon. He's just pretty calm. And so I don't know what it is about him that Kelly just can't handle, but She's a mess.
She's an absolute mess. She, like, sees Marissa and is just like, I have to go.
I know. She's literally like, I gotta leave.
They're like, yeah, the souffle's almost ready. Come sit down. And she's like, bye.
I know. And God, like, she, yeah, this episode is not good for her. And I don't mean that in, like, a bad way, because I think she's actually acting, like, very human and very normal. It's just not normal for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we'll get back to that, because she keeps acting really, like, unexpectedly flustered. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, Donna, Noah, Gina, and Dylan are doing so many double dates. They're on another one. They're at an art museum opening. And, like, Gina is still playing her little game that only features her, Donna, and Felice. Like, it really is just a different version of manipulating Donna.
Mm-hmm.
And accidentally, Dylan does more drugs and yells at a child through a door.
And then walks up to the art that they're all looking at. And first of all, he looks super high. I don't know how anybody didn't recognize this.
Like, I genuinely thought Noah did, because Noah was just like, look at him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But then nobody said anything.
And yeah, nobody really reacts. I mean, they're all kind of like, what the hell, man? But yeah, it's like he wants to buy Gina a painting. And so she picks the one that she likes. And of course, the painting she does like is from the Anthony Marchette's collection, the Anthony Marchette. And of course, Gina doesn't know any better because she doesn't know the history. And Noah is just starting to call Dylan a jerk, which I'm like, I just don't like Noah. I don't want him on the show. I don't like him. Anyway, Donna has to explain to everyone that, no, that's the guy that killed Dylan's wife. So maybe she doesn't say this part. You're the jerk, Noah.
But, like, truly, it does feel like he's making fun of our favorite child. Like, excuse me, who are you and what right do you think you have?
Not like this man literally was just acting like the biggest asshole on the planet for, like, 6 episodes recently.
Right? He was getting so drunk.
Yes. He literally drunk drove 1,100 times.
It's his favorite pastime. I'm convinced. Yeah, so getting on Dylan for being an asshole when Donna has to be like, the man who owns this painting murdered Dylan's wife? No, mm-hmm. sir. You have to apologize to the audience.
Yeah, to everybody involved. And, like, meanwhile, it's like, I guess the next morning.
Because I think so.
Dina. Oh, God, that's their name.
No, I don't like it.
Jillian, wake up. And he's all super sweaty. Like, she's getting up, getting redressed. And it seems like he has a fever because she says his body's really cold, but he's sweating. And they mm-hmm. do that same role play thing that they did earlier in the episode. Like, hi, I'm Dylan. Hi, I'm Jane. Like, blah, blah, blah. And now she's actually asking the, like, safe questions where she's like, hey, are you using needles to do this? Because if you are, I need to know because this is very unsafe, if so. And she mm-hmm. or he acts like it's no big deal. Like, no, he doesn't. But we're fine. Like, don't worry about it. And now, of course, I'm worried about it.
Of course. And Gina is too. Like, she does not take this behavior sitting down, kind of. Yeah. Like, she breaks up with him. And I literally wrote in my notes, I was like, if this sticks until the end of the episode, I will be impressed with her. Because same. Dylan has turned over and doesn't even react when she leaves. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, in truth, she shouldn't go back to this.
Yeah, 100%.
And there's just a really quick scene with Dylan that I want to also cover because there's just not mm-hmm. much that happens. But after she leaves, I guess he cleans up. He goes buy some flowers. He's going to go visit his wife's grave. We take this opportunity to get a full flashback of, in my opinion, Dylan and Tony with a wise relationship. Not Tony with an I. And it turns out her grave has been moved. And when Dylan goes to look for her, he says Antonia McKay. She would not have had time to change her name. She was murdered the same day they got married. That's not how changing your name happens.
Right.
But Antonia Marchette has been moved. And this poor mortuary manager doesn't know where. And Dylan fully assaults him.
Dude, he's so aggressive. I was like, I know this is a drama. I know we are, like, kind of a soap opera, but holy crap, that was aggressive.
It was so much, and it got Dylan absolutely nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
But back to Kelly and Donna and all of this, Kelly is actually at work. I am proud of her for that. She's doing terribly. Donna is just like, can you stop ruining my mannequins?
And she's like, what? It's a look.
I know. But she's too busy staring out the courtyard at that staircase that leads up to Matt's office. And she's literally just like throwing some sleeves on something. Like, it's not sticking. It's not how you wear a sweater. She's just throwing it.
Mm-hmm.
And Donna tells her, she's like, look, you can't let this guy go. He's really great. And they're interrupted with this conversation because David comes in. And it turns out that even though he asked people for advice on the radio, they're calling him to ask for advice on the radio.
Yeah, I know. And he doesn't have any confidence because of his last two relationships, which when he sums them up and he's like, he said the word statutory rape and they still were just like, oh, like they hit me like a Mack truck because I'm like, oh my God, those are such harsh words, which were in fact true in this case. But I was like, yeah, you probably shouldn't even be asking for advice. Just leave love altogether. Like, just don't even – just stay away.
But instead, he asks Kelly to come help him. And I'm like, what does Kelly have to show for love advice?
He should be asking Donna.
Yeah, but just completely ignores her. He's like, Kelly, I need your help.
And like, Donna cannot get over how stupid this is. Like, she is literally giggling and laughing the whole time. And when she walks over to Kelly and they're like, we got to sneak in, right? And like, Kelly's like, oh, yeah. I was like, this is Tori and Jenny right here, all of this entire thing. And I'm like, they are the love story of this show. They, right there.
Oh, my God, yes. It's just BFFs forever.
Yes, exactly.
And truly, like, this does feel like they're, like, more carefree. This is back in college. They're just going to sneak in and, like, do fun stuff.
Yep.
And they pretty much go straight there. There's a little bit of a break. They cut through the peach pit to get to the pee pad where Steve is hosting the seminar. And there's a quick stop by Gina, who's super sad, but not sad enough to not manipulate Donna just a little bit more.
Exactly. She literally just drops that Felice says a lot of mean things about Donna, and like, Donna doesn't hear it at first, but then is like, wait, did you say mean? And Gina says she defends her, and I'm like, no, you don't. This is such lazy manipulation. Like, Valerie Malone could never.
And it works. It works so well. Donna is just like, she hears it. She doesn't have time to react to it in the scene, but you know it sticks in her head.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because they have to go over. Kelly and Donna sneak in through the DJ booth so that they can hear Steve's seminar, which pretty much amounts to, when you talk to a woman, use words like mount and swell.
Like, why was the word swell used three times in this seminar? Like, it would literally, like, swell as the adjective twice. And then in terms of surfing, I was like, no, that is not a sexy word.
Right? And, like, they couldn't come up with anything else to add in there. It was just those two.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point in this, he has found the time to get Noah and Matt to film something for him. And Matt's way of saying that he picks up girls involves cooking for them, which is not how you pick them up. That's after you've picked them up, first of all. And cooking is also just a thing. It's not a move.
Yeah. No. Well, and like, it's an act of service, right? So I guess you could call like using a love language a line, but, or like a move or whatever, but it's not. Like, it's just what you enjoy doing for another person. A line or a move is something you strategically do in order to woo someone, not something you enjoy doing and do for some other person. I don't know.
With Kelly's reaction to this, I wrote in my notes, haha, feel special, idiot.
I mean, truly, what's he gonna do? Cook something for one girl and then never again be like, I'm so sorry. I make an amazing fettuccine Alfredo, but you'll never taste it because I gave it to Jackie in the 11th grade.
Oh, my God. I can't.
Although I will say, if a man came up to me at a bar and said, hi, my name is Matt. I'm a lawyer and I make amazing pasta from scratch, it would work.
Right? That's a line. Like, which isn't a good one, but it's one that might work because A, it's honest, and B, it's like, I'm letting you know that I have talents and that I would like to use them. Like,
okay, hold on. I want to turn it into a line real quick. What if he was like, hey, my name is Matt and I make a great fettuccine Alfredo, but I make an even better breakfast in bed.
See, that's a much better line. Like, that's an actual line that's like, oh, but okay. You know what I mean? Like, you might initially be like, oh, come on, man, but that was pretty good.
I'm just saying, should I go become a pickup artist? Can I really make $250 over 2 days?
Maybe.
There's another brief moment where Gina is leaving to go train Felice again, and Dylan is waiting outside, and he basically just, like, pulls Gina back in. Like, even when he's at his lowest, he is just this magnet. You just want to care for him.
Exactly. He's, like, somebody that clearly needs a village but doesn't accept a village. And so anybody that gets close to him can see that, and, like, you just want your heart – like, your heart just kind of pours out to him.
Yeah. But then we have to follow up on what Kelly just saw on this video. And she storms up to Matt's office and is like, where are all those women you saw today? And he was like, at the nail salon next door.
I do kind of love that that was the place, right? Like, because they were a lot of attractive women. Just, and like, bold of Kelly to assume that Matt just like runs through women like that. Like, I don't.
But they all need defenders.
Yeah, right. Like, it was a good little, like, fake out, I guess.
I really loved his comment. He was like, she's doing some thing where, like, if you paint one nail, you get the other nail, too.
Yeah. Well, and then it was weird because, like, Kelly's all insecure. And so she's like, well, I heard what you said about the dinner, and I don't feel special anymore because you said it's, like, what you do. And then all he, like, kind of distracts her and flusters her further by just, like, starting to kiss various parts of her hand and then calls it flirting, and that works. So I'm like, Kelly, you're not as, like, you don't have as much constitution as you thought you did.
She's constantly failing her constitution throws.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about someone who failed their constitution rolls, because the next scene we see is that Janet also filmed something for Steve's seminar.
Mm-hmm.
Janet, the most brilliant woman on this show, can do no wrong, decided to play the victim of one of Steve's pickup lines.
I literally wrote, how does she agree to this? Like, what did Steve have to do to get her to agree to this?
Right? Like, in the video, he tells her that his grandmother was making him iced tea, like her Long Island iced tea she's drinking, before she went to the hospital and died. And oh, by the way, he's an orphan too.
Yeah. It's like nobody would actually believe this. And when David's like, I don't know what's worse, falling for one of these lines or actually using one, I'm like, thank you, David. You said what we're all thinking.
Until he uses it later.
I know. It gets worse. But like, at first he was on the right track.
Like, these are truly children that they're all just like, I will never use this in my life. Have I told you about my dear grand-grand?
God.
Oh, but I will say, I'm pretty sure David can cry on cue, and that's pretty talented.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
We get another short interlude where Felice and Gina come back to the beach apartment. Donna has, like, come out to the balcony where Noah is. They start making out and just get interrupted. And I love that Noah was like, oh, let me take all those bags for you. And Gina just keeps piling them. She's like, you can take this too.
Mm-hmm. Well, and now she's, of course, like, dressed up all like Jackie O and like Felice, basically. And it's all awkward because Donna knows they're going together. Felice did a whole shopping day with Gina, and like, I don't know. It was just really awkward. And so Gina's finally like, oh, maybe I should pass on this. Like, maybe you should go. And then Felice, because she's not emotionally mature, reacts by saying, well, now none of us should go, and making everybody feel bad.
Yeah. She tells Donna that Donna ruined a perfectly lovely afternoon.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Donna didn't do shit.
Right? Donna existed.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally it. Her boyfriend was just really nice to you. And mm-hmm. all she did was say something that she's been manipulated to say. So it was like the three of them were having a different conversation than the other thought. Yeah,
exactly. But like,
it was like 5 seconds. And then Felice is just like, well, no one gets to go. I hope you're mm-hmm. happy.
It's like, it's so ridiculous. It's such a retaliatory move and for absolutely nothing and no reason.
No reason. None of this, like, whatever. I just don't care enough about Felice. And this doesn't get resolved in this episode. So, like, no. I think that's even the last time we see it. No, there's one more. But first, we're back to the pee pad at night. Steve's pack of students are there to test out their skills. And seriously, why do people go here? Every 3 minutes, the sound from the music comes off and you have to hear David complain about being single. And then you've got Steve bringing 20 men to come give you really terrible pickup lines.
It's terrible. It's awful because, like, it's a combination of, like, the troops, as Janet calls them, going out and trying to use these lines, one of which gets slapped, the other just gets denied. The other one is just too nervous to even do anything. So he says hi and then bye and doesn't get anywhere. But that combined with Kelly talking, giving advice to this woman who called in saying, oh, if you're being pressured, like, that shouldn't fly. You should be able to go slow and that should be fine. And if he's not good with it, then you should break up with him. David, as a DJ and as a radio host, perfectly segues that into a slow jam. So, but this all combined together is just chaos for Steve and clearly, like, not like, no, but like, everybody's supposed to just do what Steve wants and make sure his plan works every single time. And it's so frustrating.
Well, and if he really wanted to keep a different vibe going, why would he come to this club? Like,
right.
Nothing is more of a wet blanket on a, like, night to go pick up a random than Kelly Taylor on the radio. And, like, I don't mean that like an insult to her. She's just a serial monogamist.
Right, exactly. She's not a – she doesn't date. Like, she has relationships. She's like Rory and Gilmore Girls. She doesn't date. She has relationships.
Yeah, and case in point – okay, first of all, she puts on a bunch of lipstick in the DJ booth, and then as soon as she comes out, it's all gone and her lips are pink mm-hmm. again. And I was like, what happened to you?
They clearly did – she did that probably on, like, one or two takes, and they didn't keep that take. Or they filmed this out of order.
Oh, yeah. It threw me so much. Mm-hmm. But then she comes out to the dance floor where Matt, who she's dating, is. And they have this, like, really short, like, did you mean what you said? Or I think she says, I just want you to know that I do mean what I said about taking things slow. And then they go have sex.
Yeah. Literally, they change their minds because Kelly is just so unbelievably attracted to this guy that she's like, never mind. I keep saying one thing and thinking another and then doing another and then I just can't. So anyway, let's go do it.
Well, and then, like, to wrap that up really quick, the next morning she has to drive Matt back to the pee pad for his car and it is the most awkward car ride in the world. Awkward. She's like, we weren't thinking when we left your car. Right? I mean, yeah, we weren't thinking. I mean, we were thinking, but about sex, not cars. Do you want to get breakfast?
I really like you, but it's so awkward.
Also, she keeps saying, like, I meant what I said. I want to go slow. And Matt's like, I don't know what that means.
I know. Poor guy. He's, like, having to decipher. He has nobody to tell him what the Kelly language is, and he just has to keep just, all right. Like, good on him for just being flexible, you know?
Mm-hmm. This is another part where Brandon would have helped. Matt could have been like, Brandon, I don't know what's happening. Mm-hmm. Please help me.
Well, and just to kind of, like, wrap their story on a bow, like, the last scene with them is later Kelly comes by and he just basically states again what he said pretty much to her this entire time of he's not going anywhere. Like, all of this insecurity, all of this nervousness, it doesn't matter to him because he really wants a relationship with her. And so he's like, why don't we just order in and whatever? And I guess that works again on Kelly because now she's not insecure about going upstairs into whatever bedroom they're going to go in the Walsh house.
Yeah, I guess she had to, like, break that seal in her own apartment, mm-hmm. which I will also say I'm pretty sure they don't close her bedroom door.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
They did not.
Like, Yeah, you do not see like a kick of the foot to close the door.
You just see everything else, these like tiny little moments of like unbuckling a belt and unbuttoning a button.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like that was pretty grown up for what we've seen. We've seen like her and Brandon like fall to the bed together. We've seen some stuff with Janet and Steve, but this felt like the most.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So this past night, while all these people were at the pee pad, Dylan is out doing something sketchy. Once again, he's buying a gun off the street.
And he literally says, I just want something that will, a gun that will kill someone. I'm like, okay, Dylan, way to be specific. That's like when Steve goes up to the bartender, says, I want beer.
And
what
just
beer?
Like,
what kind?
We've been here before, Dylan. This has happened before. I think this happened in like, what, season 4, maybe?
Something like that.
Yeah, after he got, like, did they steal his car or something? No.
Did he get fully carjacked or did he just get robbed at a red light? He might have
gotten
fully carjacked.
I think it was robbed at a red light. I can't remember.
Who knows at this
point? One or both.
Yeah.
But the guy agrees to buy the gun, gets it for Dylan. Dylan takes it back to the house he shares with David. I don't really know what to call that house. I don't think it has a nickname at the moment.
I keep calling it David's house.
Yeah, but like now both of them live there, so I'm not sure it is David's house.
But he, I guess, invited Dylan there just to, anyway. At the house where David and Dylan live, Steve is like blaming David for his reputation being bombed by Kelly being on the radio show. And David is like trying to argue with him, like, no, that's not his responsibility. And so he moves Dylan's jacket and Dylan's gun falls out. And I will say, good on David here. Because he picks it, first of all, he probably should have just like picked it up and put it somewhere, not carried it into the room with him. But that's besides the point, because he barges into Dylan's room and he's like, I do not want guns in my house. I fired a gun and it wasn't, and I was not in the right state of mind and it was a bad situation. So I don't want any of this in my house. So good on him.
Yeah. I mean, he and Steve seem to handle Dylan pretty well in this moment. Like Steve tries to say something and whatever, but like Steve has David's back while talking to Dylan and they're like, you have to get rid of this. And Dylan's like, okay, fine. It'll be gone today or tonight. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, also I guess kind of to wrap him up, like later on, Gina comes over and she cannot get enough of Dylan. Like she just can't resist him. She's like, I want to help you quit. I don't want you on drugs. I just want us to be together. And I'm pretty sure he's high in this scene. Like,
I think so too.
He could have just been acting that way because we know what he's about to do, but he's acting really weird. He's like, I got to go see this guy. Don't worry about it. It's nothing. And finally he tells her that he's going to see Anthony Marchette to find out where Antonio Marchette is buried. But while he's facing away from Gina, you see he's holding the gun. Clearly he's going to go point a gun at Tony again.
Yeah, it's like he doesn't lie about who he's going to see, but obviously like about what his intentions are.
Mm-hmm. And like also quickly with Gina earlier this day, she's still doing the whole Donna thing. She's like, she and Donna are talking about their two moms and Donna's like, you really lucked out not having Felice as your mom. But then Gina's like, you don't even understand. I've had to support my mom for my entire career.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as Donna leaves, Gina calls Felice and is just like, I wanted to apologize for yesterday. Donna's behavior was so out of line.
Yeah, she's like playing both sides. And it's, again, the laziest form of manipulation because this will inevitably blow up in her face. And again, Valerie Malone could never. Like she would have done this so much better. And I know we've been talking about that. I don't know how, because I don't think like Valerie, but this is just the laziest form. Like somebody's going to slip.
It's like Valerie planted little seeds, but Gina is just like planting a whole fucking tree.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. She's just like, this could absolutely not backfire on me. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to put this here.
Yeah.
But like, she's going all in on Felice. Like,
yeah,
I don't even think Val wouldn't do this because she'd be like, why? Why would I do this?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And finally, unfortunately, we get one more night at the pee pad where David cannot talk to Whitman, probably because he sits in the DJ booth and is ridiculous. And then he comes out to get a beer and tries to pick up Whitman. And they're like, yes, I know who you are. You've been making this club really weird tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Steve comes into the pee pad, sits down next to David, and David's like, do you remember being in a normal relationship? And neither of them can. But yeah. Then I don't remember what Steve calls this poor woman at the bar, but he says something really gross and tells David to go talk to this woman and use the dead grandmother line.
And so he does. Like, it's interesting because he, like, tries to just pick her up normally and it doesn't work. So then he's, like, finally, like, ugh, okay, I guess I'll do it. And does the Long Island Iced Tea thing. And it works because it's Steve. Like, we can't just let him fail. Why? Why can't we just let him fail?
Okay, but see, here's the thing is we don't get really 100% resolution on this because the first night that the guys are all at the pee pad and they fail miserably to pick up women, Janet's like, money back guarantee. They're all coming after mm-hmm. you. This totally blew up in your face. And then this night they come back and they're all pissed at Steve. Mm-hmm. And Steve's just like, look, I just designed the plays. You guys are the ones that have to run them.
Right.
And then David is successfully running one down the bar. But I don't think Steve ever is like, look, it's literally working. Like, there's no resolution. There's no final piece.
Agreed. It just seems like what we know is that Steve doesn't fail.
Yeah. And the last thing I have to say about that is, like, truly, imagine going to a bar and you're either not married or, like, maybe guys can't see your ring and they come up to hit on you. But they hit on you by crying and telling you about mm-hmm. their dead grandmother.
Or you hear the same line or same two lines from, like, seven different guys. It sounds terrible.
The pee pad sucks. Val would never have allowed this to happen either. She'd be like, no, Steve, you can't have the seminar here. We can't do charity events. We can't do dance marathons. Even if they're great, we just can't. Actually, exactly. I take that back. She would allow the dance marathon because it was an AIDS benefit and she had the AIDS scare.
That's true.
Other than that, she wouldn't have let the other stuff happen, and she would not have let this seminar happen.
Nope. And that's the episode.
That is how to be the jerk that women love.
God, I can't even. Please let next week's be better.
Yeah, I mean, do you have a quote of the week? Do you have a moment of the week, y'all?
I literally didn't write down a single quote. I wrote nothing. I was, like, reading through as we were talking, and I wrote down no quotes.
I really have to give my moment to Donna in that scene where – okay, so Kelly and Donna are talking in the kitchen or whatever, and Gina comes in, and she's like, blah, 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 Dylan's house in traffic, and just keeps going. And Kelly just gets her, like, laser eyes. They start to charge up, and Donna's like, hey, Matt, you should go see Matt. Go over there. Get out. Just leave. Don't even look.
Yep.
It was amazing. I loved it so much.
Truly, Donna was on one this week.
Yeah.
She was great. Yeah. I really wrote very few quotes. And the one quote I would give a quote of the week kind of a mention to would be the one I made up for when it comes to women. I've got a PhD.
Yep. Fair enough.
That's all I've
anything,
got.
Anything we write is better than what they wrote.
I will say, though, when Janet says, yeah, you have nothing to lose except your dignity, mm-hmm. that was also close a pretty second. Good one.
Yeah.
I love
that. She does the video.
I love that when she brings up their dignity, both of them just look at her like, what's that?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
Do I have that? Is it, like, on me somewhere?
Yeah. Can you catch it like a cold? God.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. All right. What is next week?
Next week, we have season 9, episode 12, Trials and Tribulations.
Yay.
I mean, yeah, relationship trouble. Name one.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Well, We'll find out next week. And until then, you can follow us on Instagram at Back2Podcast.
You can also send us an email with anything you might want to know or talk about at back2podcast@gmail.com.
That's BACKTO podcast@gmail.com.
And don't forget to go into your podcast app and rate, review, subscribe, share it with all your friends and family. All that stuff really helps us get seen and build a community, and that way we can give y'all a better product. And if you leave us a 5-star review in Apple Podcasts, we'll give you a shout out on the show because we really appreciate you. So from all of us at Back2Podcast, I like to surf, but only when the swells are huge.
Are you from Tennessee? Because you're the only 10 I see.
Is that a mirror in your pants? Bye.
Bye.
See ya.